The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
How did eternal salvation work in the Old Testament? Well, let's find out in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're taking questions from listeners just like yourself. Hopefully, you feel comfortable to send in your own questions. If you've got email, you can reach us at radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for listening to the show, and we really appreciate everyone who listens every day and supports the program by sending us questions and supporting us in other ways, praying for us. We really appreciate it. Here's one such person. His name is Josiah, and he's from the Philippines.
All right.
I love hearing from our international audience, and it's great. And did
you
know that we have a Filipino blog? We just started it
a few weeks ago.
So now we're blogging in English, Spanish, Portuguese, and Filipino. I think it might be Tagalog, but I think they use those terms interchangeably.
Right.
So thanks to your support, we're now blogging in 4 different languages, which is awesome.
Right.
And so here's a question from Josiah from the Philippines. He says, I've been listening to your radio program by downloading your podcast, and I've been learning a lot. I want to ask about your position regarding eternal salvation in the Old Testament. I've been taught that it is obeying the law and that salvation can be lost if they fail to obey the law of Moses, because if they did, their name would be blotted out of the book of life. But I'm confused because I know that the law is for the Israelites and Israel is a chosen people of God. So regardless if they fail to obey the law, they're still saved, right? Is that correct? And how about the Gentiles? How do they get saved in the Old Testament? I hope you can help me with these questions.
Oh, wow. That's a good question, Josiah. You said there at the end, Josiah, that they're still saved even if they fail to obey. And that's not quite, I think, what we'd want to say. Josiah said they're God's chosen people, right? God chose the nation.
Right.
So what we can say is, whether an individual Jew before the time of Christ or before, let's say, the birth of the church in Acts chapter 2, if they were disobedient to God, they were still part of God's chosen people, right?
Right.
But that didn't mean they were born again. The question comes back to Josiah's initial question is, what did an Old Testament person have to do to be born again?
Right.
Now, it's true that many people wrongly think they were born again by obedience to the commandments.
Right, and that's wrong. That misunderstands the purpose of the law.
Right, it does. What was the purpose of the law?
So you can read, Josiah, I'd recommend that you read Romans chapter 3 and Romans chapter 4, because it's going to answer both of your questions, I think. So
yes.
Romans chapter 3, verse 20, for example, says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So how many Old Testament people were saved by following the law?
Well, none. However, I could see how someone might read Romans 3, what is it, verse 20, as saying that's the condition now, but that wasn't true in the past. There's been a dispensational change, and so now it's this way, but it used to be a different way.
Maybe, except I really do think that Paul's point is that this was never a possibility.
Right, and he goes in chapter 4 and cites Abraham as being the same thing.
Yes.
He was justified by faith apart from works. And if Abraham was justified by faith apart from works, then all the Old Testament saints were justified
right.
in the same way.
So in Romans 3:28, Paul says, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. And now listen to what he says in verse 29. Or is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith.
So Jews and Gentiles, same way.
And here's the example in chapter 4. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. So there is a vindication or a justification by works, but it's not before God.
It's before men.
It has to be before men. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness.
Genesis 15:6.
So that's Romans 4:3, citing Genesis 15:6.
And you see the same thing in Galatians 3:6-14. He cites Abraham as the father of all those who believe, yes, because Abraham was a believer.
Yes.
You also see this in John 8:56. Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Well, that means that Abraham believed in Jesus. He believed in the coming Messiah. Now, he may or may not have known his name was Joshua or Yeshua,
yeah,
but he did know Messiah, and he did believe in Messiah, and he rejoiced to see that coming day. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us Abraham was looking forward to the New Jerusalem.
Right.
He was looking forward to being resurrected. And by the way, the best way to understand Old Testament salvation is inspired scripture telling us.
Right.
Right? So you went to Romans 3 and 4. Perfect way to do it.
Right.
Abraham believed and was justified. David believed and was justified. That's Romans 4:6-8.
Yeah.
And you can read Hebrews 11. All these people believed in the promise of life after death and being in the kingdom, and they were looking for reward. We're told Moses gave up the riches of Egypt because he was looking for reward. And so what we know is that people have never been born again or justified by works.
That was never the purpose of the law. The law had lots of good purposes. The law, you know, God gave the law for a reason, but it was never, ever, ever to be able to save anybody. Paul calls it a ministry of death.
And the law was a tutor. We see that in, Galatians 3:24?
Right. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ. Now, listen to this. To bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So the law revealed your sin, it pointed to the Messiah, and it shows you that really the only hope that you have is to be justified by faith in the Messiah, because obviously no one lives up to the law. Nobody.
Okay, I think here's a point, Josiah, that'll really help you. When, Sean, did the Old Testament person cease?
When did the Old Testament person cease?
Yeah, when did the New Testament
Pentecost.
Person begin? Pentecost, right?
I would say Pentecost.
So when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, is he talking about a church age person or a Mosaic law person?
He's talking about a Mosaic law person.
And what about the woman at the well, John 4?
Guess she was outside, but you know, at that time.
She was a Samaritan.
Yeah.
Yeah, she believed in the Torah, the first five books. But in any regard, the ministry of Jesus was to Old Testament people. Now, admittedly, it's in the New Testament because it's written after Pentecost,
right,
to tell people in the church age how to be born again.
Yeah.
But the point is, when Jesus said you must be born again, he was telling Old Testament people they had to be born again.
Yeah.
Let me show you one verse I really love, John 5:39-40. He's talking to legalistic Jews who think they can be saved by obedience, just what Josiah is talking about.
You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life.
So how do we get life according to verse 40?
Coming to Jesus.
And coming to Jesus in John's gospel means believing in him. John 6:35.
Yeah.
And so what he says is, look, the Old Testament scriptures testify about Messiah, testify about Jesus. Why do you think they kept coming to Jesus saying, what are the greatest commandments?
Because they thought they needed to check off all the boxes of the commandments they needed to obey to be saved, and they wanted to make sure they didn't miss out on any.
Right. And so when he says you're searching the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life, they did believe in life after death. They did believe in the coming kingdom, but they thought it was by perseverance and good works. By the way, does that sound at all familiar with people in Christianity?
That sounds very familiar. Lots and lots of Christians from lots of different traditions think they have to climb up the ladder of salvation by doing all these religious works. And I think Josiah, being from the Philippines, is probably especially aware of this. Very Roman Catholic country.
Right.
But also probably has a lot of legalistic evangelicals,
absolutely,
too.
And when we use the term Christians, that doesn't necessarily mean born-again people.
Right.
That means people who worship in the Christian religion, but they've not yet believed in Christ for the free gift of everlasting life.
Yes.
We all know people like that. People who are not just Roman Catholic or Eastern Orthodox, but lots of flavors of Protestant. essentially, they're seeing salvation in the Old Testament by works, salvation in the New Testament by works. Yeah. Ultimately, they're saying, in order to get into the kingdom, we've got to persevere in faith and good works, and that's wrong,
wrong. Just read Romans 3:3-4 especially. The only way anyone was ever saved, and Abraham is the example of that, is by faith apart from works. But now, let's come to this other question that he asks. What about being blotted out of the book of life? What does that mean?
Well, I think we had a show on that recently. Maybe he can look it up about a week ago. And that's Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. And
that's
basically
right.
What I suggested is that probably it's a figure of speech called understatement. He's saying, not only am I not going to blot the name of the overcomer out of the book of life,
right.
I'm going to exalt his name. I'm going to confess his name. The alternate view is that anama, name there, refers to reputation. And God might blot out your reputation as an overcomer, but he'll never blot your name from the book of life. Because once you're written in the book of life,
he'll blot out your name if you're not an overcomer.
If you were not an overcomer, he might blot out your reputation.
Your reputation.
But not your name, because Luke 10:20, Jesus told the 70, rejoice that your names are written in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
That would only be a cause of rejoicing if you couldn't be taken out.
Yeah, that's right. Well, what about this last one? How do Gentiles get saved in the Old Testament?
Well, Gentiles were saved in the Old Testament the same way Jews were saved in the Old Testament. And so there was no separate way of being born again. Mm-hmm. Everybody is born again by grace, through faith, apart from works. That's the point of Romans 3 and 4, right?
That's right.
And he says, whether circumcised or uncircumcised,
yeah,
that's not only true in this age, that's always been true.
Yeah, there's only one way to be saved, because guess what? No one is good enough to be saved on the basis of their works. As Jesus said, no one is good except for God alone. So your only hope, the hope in any age, is to believe in Jesus for the free gift of salvation. It's by faith, apart from works, always.
Amen.
Thanks for the question, Josiah, and thank you for writing from the Philippines. If you're from the Philippines, we would love to hear from you. We'd love to hear about how you're reading our blogs. Go to our website and subscribe to our blog, and send us questions at radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's program, we're going to talk about covenant theology and reformed theology, so tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.